Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Welcome to Sunday Podcast. This is our chance to play for you some of the best moments from the radio show and some great interviews during the week that you may have missed. If you ever want to check out our show, go to Bongino.com. Go to Station Finder and see what radio station we're on near you. You'll love it. I promise you. We put a lot of work into the radio show. Check it out. But before that, let me tell you about our first sponsor. Hey, you having trouble sleeping or staying asleep? Trust me, I've been there. I'm there a lot. It's not just about feeling tired the next day. It's about the toll poor sleep can take on every aspect of your life. But guess what? There's hope on the horizon. It comes in the form of Beams Dream Powder. This stuff's been a game changer for me. You see, when we're sleeping well, we can be sharper, more focused, and ready to tackle whatever life throws our way. And today, my listeners get a special discount on Beams Dream Powder. It's a science-backed hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Better sleep's never tasted better. Other sleep aids can cause the next day grogginess. We don't like that. But Dream contains a powerful, all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. You want to try it? Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, where Beam is now offering Bongino listeners an exclusive discount. Get up to 45% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Bongino and use code Bongino at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/Bongino. Or use code Bongino for up to 45% off. Shopbeam.com/Bongino. First up today, we talk with Matt Walsh from The Daily Wire about his new blockbuster movie. I think it's been rocketing up the charts. It's one of the biggest documentaries of all time. Maybe the biggest. It's called Am I Racist? Have you seen it? It's amazing. Really happy to welcome this next guest to the show. He's now a famous filmmaker. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to ask him if he ever saw himself in this role. But he's had a number of really big successes in this kind of mockumentary space where we just look at liberals for who they are. First, it was What is a Woman? Now there's a film out called Am I Racist? It's playing, which is great, in the local theater near me. It's a hilarious, hilarious takedown of the grotesque DEI industry. Welcoming back to the show, Matt Walsh from The Daily Wire. Matt, thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
Hey, Dan, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Man, the movie, Matt, I got to tell you, man, I started watching some of the segments and it's playing in the local theater here, which has been very open to this type of material, movies that you put out in Dinesh, and saw it. And the trailer almost doesn't do it justice. I don't want to take away from the interview. Do you mind if we just play a minute of this one interview? And I want to ask you some questions about it. I just want you folks to listen to this one segment from the movie where he's interviewing one of these DEI lunatics. This is priceless. Check this out.
What's up with white people?
Where do we start?
Maybe reframe the question a little bit. What's wrong with white people?
A lot of it has to do with cognitive dissonance, which allows white people to feel okay about what happened. There was actually a lot of studies on Nazi doctors and how they were able to live with themselves. And it's not that much different than white Americans or white people around the world, right? It's this splitting of the self. And so you have this part of you that knows that they did wrong, the shadow self, and that you have to split that. And you have the other self that's like, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. Racism? Why are you blaming me for what my ancestors did? It's not my fault.
Is racism inherent to whiteness?
I would say so. I would say that we need to abolish whiteness. It's always been rooted in othering the other people who don't fit into whiteness. But when we look at white culture, the only thing about white culture is buying things and stealing things.
Matt, this is insane. Abolish whiteness? Is this like some kind of call for racial genocide? I mean, she actually said that in your film.
She did. And yeah, I don't know how else to interpret it. If you're going to abolish whiteness, then what does that mean for the unfortunate white people who are, you know, embodying whiteness? But that's also one thing you find in the film. And if you listen to DEI grifters in general, is that they, you know, they're probably not going to come out directly and directly say, let's kill all the white people. They use language like this. They say abolish whiteness. And there's a certain ambiguity to it, because then you ask, well, what exactly is whiteness? And they don't give you a clear definition of that. Because they also want to make it clear that even if you're not white, you could still qualify as somehow a participant in whiteness if you're conservative, for example. So they use just, it's always this with the left. Everything's ambiguous, and they can apply these terms however they feel like, you know, in the moment.
And it's like a euphemisms game. And I think the left is comfortable with this. Because I saw an interview, forgive me, I don't know where you, I've been watching your stuff and your follow-up, because the film, by the way, folks, called Am I Racist, has been a runaway success. I think you're already one of the top 10 documentaries, which is phenomenal, phenomenal, considering it's a conservative media product. And if this was a liberal product, it would have made $100 million already. But I saw you say something in an interview that these people aren't used to even mild criticism, Matt. That these DEI crazies would abolish whiteness and all this other nonsensical racist stuff, that the second you subject them to even the mildest of scrutiny, they almost instantly collapse. And I think you were saying how when you were engaging with these people, pretending to be one of them, that you had to be careful almost not to be too adversarial because they just have never had anyone confront them. And you wanted to, you know, you needed some material for the movie. If I remember correctly, I thought I heard that in an interview.
Yeah, it's exactly right. That's why, you know, the movie is an hour, you know, it's hour and 40 minutes long, but we're taking these interviews and these events that I attended that were 2 hours long, right, in real time. And in many of these interviews, we talked, for example, to Robin DiAngelo, who's kind of like the godmother of the DEI race hustle. And she's one of the last people we talked to in the film. In real time, it's like maybe an hour and a half conversation. And about 90% of it was just me agreeing with her over and over. It was pretty torturous for me anyway, to just continually agree, because you have to make it very, very clear to them that you agree with them, that they're in a safe space, that everything's okay. They're not going to be challenged. And then after you've set that stage for a long time, then you can start to challenge a little bit. You can start pushing on these things, but they're so cautious about that because they know that, their worldview is like a house of cards that can come tumbling down at any moment. And they usually don't subject themselves to any kind of scrutiny unless you can find a way to kind of coax them out from behind their intellectual fortress out into the open.
We're talking to Matt Walsh, the creative mind behind the runaway success movie out now called Am I Racist? Folks, absolutely hilarious. Go watch the trailers. You'll be blown away. The trailers candidly don't do the movie justice. It's rare to say that. The movie is incredible. It's worth your time. Matt, one of the things that's always kind of troubled me amongst the craziness of the DEI business is the weirdest thing about the DEI business you expose is that you think they'd be proud of it. You know, in other words, like guys like you or me, like I'm pro-life from birth to from conception, to natural death. That's my stance. I'll defend it. We're on 300 plus stations. Like, that's what I've said. I'm proud of it. I'm happy to defend it, debate it, whatever. Tax cuts, I'll tell you why I believe in them. The weird thing about the DEI grift is Robin DiAngelo, what did she deactivate her account? Why? I mean, you let her speak her mind. You agreed with her. You weren't rude to her. You paid her for her appearance. You would think this would be her great coming out moment. Like if the Young Turks asked you to come on their show in a documentary and agreed to fairly edit it and you're willing to pay, I'd be like, all right, I'll consider it. Like I'm not embarrassed by it. What is with this business that the minute you let them talk, they're so embarrassed they run away on social media?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Robin DiAngelo deactivated her account. In fact, most of the people who are the promoters of this stuff who appear in the film have since at least deleted their Twitter accounts, which is very, very interesting. I think that it's, at some level, they must recognize that what they're saying is nonsensical, because you're right that for me or you, there's no embarrassment about what I believe. And of course, if I say what I believe, the left is going to pretend it is absurd and laugh about it. But I know it doesn't faze me because I know that it's true and I'm totally confident in it.
Right.
But I think that if you recognize at least at some level that what you're doing is a grift, then there is going to be some embarrassment. And I don't think, I mean, look, there are true believers with the DEI cult. I mean, the people that are going out and buying the books and going to these seminars and all that kind of stuff. I mean, these people I think are the dupes. They're the ones who have been indoctrinated, but the ones that are pushing it, I don't think that they fully believe it. I think there's at least an element of just cynical, self-aware exploitation going on.
Yeah, I've wondered that too, because when you, as you said before, we're talking to Matt Walsh, the new movie is called Am I Racist? Please check it out. You know, I think back to the grifter critical race theory guy, and he's on the panel, and they ask him to define whatever racism, and he's like, it's like racisty, racist stuff. And, you know, when you're describing something in a proper definition, you don't use the word in the definition. You don't, in other words, like define a pen. Well, it's a pen-like device is not a definition. You just repeated the word again. I've wondered that too. Like I said, I think some of them are true believers, but I think they're genuinely stupid people. I mean, like low aptitude, low IQ people. But what bothers me the most is not the dumb people. We've always had to deal with dumb people. It's the mercenary ones. There are people out there who really understand that this is divisive, like potential end of America stuff, to sick races against each other. It's the very definition of racism. And they do it anyway because there's actual money to be made. They're, as you showed in the movie, you know, you pay these people for their appearances. They get paid to do this, Matt. This isn't free.
Yeah, there's money, there's power, there's influence to be found. That and nefarious people have known this for a long time, that racial division, resentment, suspicion, guilt, all these things are extremely profitable if you have no soul and you're willing to profit off of it, which is also why these people have gone out of their way to stir that up. I mean, I think that, and we kind of show this in the movie too, because we go talk to normal people also who are outside of the kind of anti-racist DEI bubble. And what we find for the normal people is that they're not really thinking about most of this stuff. They're not obsessed with, you know, they're aware of race, obviously, but they're not, it's not a focus of their life. They're not worried about things like systemic racism. And I think that's the default position of most people in modern America. But for the leftist race hustlers, that's a bad thing. That's what they're worried about. They need to come in and say, no. You can't let this not be an issue to you, because that means less money and power for us. So they intentionally try to stir it up. And unfortunately, they've had a lot of success in that regard, I think, especially in recent years.
Talking to Matt Walsh, the new movie is called Am I Racist? Matt, the website is amiracist.com. That's the website, right?
Yeah, that's the website.
Amiracist.com to get tickets. Matt, last question. I'll let you go. I know you're a busy guy. You've got your own show. He has a podcast, Matt Walsh, very popular one. You should check that out. How the hell did you not laugh doing that? I'm watching this movie and you're sitting there stone faced with these lunatics. I mean, insane, saying the craziest, the Moana thing, where you're questioning the lady about if it's cultural appropriation to wear the Moana costume. How did you take a Xanax? Like, how did you not just crack up with the stupidity of the answers in that? You must have some phenomenal self-control.
Well, part of it is a lot of practice listening to crazy leftists say crazy things. So it takes a lot of practice, and you get used to hearing it. And also in the moment, you know, a lot of what they're saying, it's funny to laugh about it, and it's funny in the film, intentionally so. But it's also really disgusting. I mean, what we just heard, the clip you played of the woman, you know, is essentially calling for a genocide. So there's that too. It's like that at least in a moment, the fact that I'm sitting in the room across from these people saying these evil, hideous things, it's actually easier for me to laugh about it now watching the film myself than maybe it was like in the moment with these people.
But one last thing, Ali, did anyone actually recognize you? Because it's not like your costume was particularly sophisticated. You put a man bun in. I mean, it wasn't like you disguised yourself like Mystique from the X-Men or something. I mean, you just put, yeah, and it wasn't even your same hair color.
Not exactly. I'm not exactly a shapeshifter, I'll admit that.
No, but
you know, I didn't. I got recognized one time and we got kicked out and they called the cops because I made them feel unsafe, even though I didn't do anything. But other than that, we didn't get recognized. I think that speaks to, again, the kind of bubble these people live in, where they, you know, if you're not in that bubble with them, then they just, they're not even aware of your existence. Which is a whole other thing, but it certainly was an advantage that we were able to take advantage of.
I can't wait for your next project. Yeah, What Is a Woman? Runaway success. Your movie out now, Am I Racist? You can check it out at amiracist.com. I really can't wait to see what your next project is. You've become kind of the go-to guy for this type of material, and it is so needed. I mean, listen, I hate to cite Alinsky, man, but he was right. You know, the power of ridicule. He is 100, and these people are really ridiculing themselves. Matt Walsh, the movie's Am I Racist? amiracist.com to get your tickets. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
You got it. I'm telling you, the Moana scene is one of the funniest things you've ever seen. where he's asking this DEI lady, who's talking about how like weird it is that the Disney princesses are white. And he's like, no, it's good. My daughter watches Moana. It's a woman of color. And the lady's like, oh, that's really great. Matt's like, but I got a problem. She wants to wear the Moana costume, and it's like cultural appropriation. The lady's like, oh my gosh, what do we do? No one's ever posed that deep conundrum. Just watch it. AmIRacist.com. Worth your time. Coming up, another great interview, but let's hear from our next sponsor first. GenuCell. Yeah, I wish these bags on my eyes would just go away. If that sounds like you every morning, you're not alone. Bags and puffiness are a big problem for millions of Americans, men and women. Till now, introducing the new GenuCell skincare serum with plant stem cell technology for under-eye bags and puffiness. Susan from New Jersey wrote, I've been using GenuCell for months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone. Even the crow's feet and small lines have disappeared and haven't come back. I love your product. Use it under my eyes, around my cheekbones, and on my eyelids. Sure, you can have surgery to look younger, but why on earth would you do that? With its instant effects, you'll see results in the first 12 hours or your money back. I guarantee it. Order now. Say big on GenuCell's complete skincare package for a limited time, including GenuCell for bags and puffiness treatment and immediate effects. All at about 70% off, so you can try the best skincare in the world for yourself completely risk-free. Go to GenuCell.com/Dan, GenuCell.com/Dan. Order right now and get an extra discount at checkout and free shipping. That's GenuCell.com/Dan, GenuCell.com/Dan. Thanks, GenuCell. Here's Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson. He's one of the good guys. Came on to talk about our shot to win a Senate seat in Wisconsin and Donald Trump in Wisconsin, which is important, and this massive FEMA spending scandal. Listen to this. Senator from Wisconsin, he may have the record for the most appearances on the Dan Bongino show. I'm not sure. Senator Ron Johnson, thanks for joining us today.
Hello, Dan. Really appreciate you having me on to talk about our very real opportunity with the Eric Hovday in Wisconsin and also the 10 electoral votes for President Trump.
You know, Senator, I got to tell you, I never fake it with my audience. I saw this coming for a while now. I've got a lot of friends from Wisconsin. Evita Duffy, Rachel Duffy, and Sean was a congressman there. Evita's a host on my network. They know Wisconsin politics better than anyone. Her dad was obviously a congressman. I know you know him well. You're on the show all the time telling me about Wisconsin politics. We've talked off the record, on the record. This is a state, I believe, being crushed by the inflation crisis, being hurt by the immigration crisis, too. They totally get it. And that your Senate race is competitive with Hovde, who's an amazing candidate against, frankly, Senator, your co-worker there in the Senate on the Democrat side, who's done nothing. She takes credit for everybody else's work and has never done anything, is the least surprising political news I've heard all year.
Yeah, really, in decades of being elected official, I don't know anything that Tammy Baldwin has really accomplished. I really don't. Other than she's gotten elected, great, and you voted for all this massive deficit spending, which has devalued our dollar and created so much pain for American families. But no, this is entirely possible. These races, these statewide races, are always close in Wisconsin. The polls are just ridiculous early out, far ahead of the election. These are going to be close. And what is particularly noteworthy right now is Tammy Baldwin felt she had to release her internal polls, which right. Donald Trump is up by 3. She's only up by 2. I can't believe there's going to be that many ticket splitters, quite honestly. But, she's obviously concerned. This is a cry for help. Hey, Democrats, you guys throw tens of millions of dollars more in here so I can smear Eric Hovde. And that's really what is so grotesque about this. Eric Hovde would be a fabulous senator. He's a serial entrepreneur. He's taken his success, and he's created shelters for trafficked children all over the world. And yet Tammy Baldwin, her entire campaign is talking of denigrating him, smearing him, lying about him. So he's going to need help. This is entirely possible. EricHovde.com. He needs small dollar donations. We can win this race, but he needs the resources to refute all the lies. And, talk about himself. He conquered MS. He had muscular sclerosis as a 27-year-old. He conquered it through diet and exercise. I mean, he's an extraordinary individual. He could be a great U.S. senator.
We're talking to Senator Ron Johnson from a critical state in Wisconsin. And the reason I have the Senator on is not just about the Senate race going on. He's not up in this cycle, but his Democratic colleague, Senator Know-Nothing Tammy Baldwin, is because, Senator, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal. I'm sure you probably saw the same one. It referenced the fact that, yes, Tammy Baldwin, the Democrat running for Senate again in Wisconsin, bizarrely released a bunch of terrible polls. And I have a clip I'm going to play tomorrow of Mark Halperin and Sean Spicer, where Halperin says, hey, man, you never do that. The only reason you release a bunch of bad internal polls is exactly what you just said. This is a cry for help. We're getting crushed here. And the reason I bring it up is in the same article, they say, listen, if Kamala Harris loses Pennsylvania, it's really bad. She's got probably a 90% chance of losing. If she loses Wisconsin, there is almost no path. There's a 99% chance the race is over. That's how critical of a state Wisconsin's going to be on election night.
No, Wisconsin is the quintessential bellwether state here. I mean, how Wisconsin goes, I really think the nation goes. And again, what we are doing on the ground, it's ground game, ground game, ground game. We are encouraging everybody to vote early, bank that vote, so that all of our get out the vote efforts are going to be directed toward the low propensity voters who will decide this election. So if you listen to me in Wisconsin, vote now. Tell everybody you know to vote early. You know, instead of being down 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 votes because early voting on election day, we want to be ahead. And in Wisconsin, you could have miserable weather here. So you just can't take the chance. So vote early. And again, Eric Hovday needs support. EricHovday.com. You know, you got a national audience. Please flood money in here. Tammy Baldwin, of course, has, you know, taking advantage of Act Blue and the smurfing, which finally attorney generals are starting to investigate this way too late. But I mean, that's, from my standpoint, a clear violation, a massive violation of the campaign finance law. Tammy Baldwin's taking advantage of that campaign finance violation. So we need to help Eric Hovday, EricHovday.com.
And let's be clear, too, about this Senate race, the Hovday-Baldwin race in Wisconsin. If Eric Hovday wins here in what would have been an upset a few days ago, but hopefully now, I think this is a toss-up, and a lot of independent political analysts feel the same way. If Hovday wins this race, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but we're looking really good in Montana with Sheehy Tester. West Virginia is obviously probably a fait accompli at this point. Again, I got to get out and vote and execute. Ohio's looking a lot better with Bernie Moreno. Senator Johnson, we could, and again, we got to execute and bring 10 people with us. There's no excuses, no red wave talk, but we could have a 3-4 seat buffer in the Senate. And you know as well as I do, if we lose the Senate and Donald Trump wins, he's getting impeached on day one. They will make up another charge, felonious mopery in the umpteenth degree, piracy on the open seas. They'll just make it up. And he's going to get impeached if we lose the House and Senate. That's just a fact. And it's going to be useless to have won the presidency.
Yeah, it would be 100% nonstop torment, which is what he experienced pretty much in his first term. So, no, we can't let that happen. Again, we probably need a stronger majority because we've got a few Republican senators that don't always vote with us. So, you know, we need a little margin of error would be nice. I don't want to be operating with the thin margin that Speaker Johnson has had to deal with. So we need a larger margin in the House. We need a larger margin in the Senate. We obviously have to win the presidency. And you know, one thing I always talk about here in Wisconsin is trickle up elections. We have made sure that we have a lot of Republican assembly candidates, even in districts where it's going to be difficult for them to win because they're out there campaigning hard like Eric Hovday is. And when you vote for one Republican down ballot, chances are you're going to vote for people at the top of the ticket like Eric Hovday, like President Trump. It's really the key to President Trump getting 10 electoral votes. So, again, this is an all-out effort. We have the ground game in place. We just have to execute it. But we need resources. EricHovday.com.
EricHovday.com is the website. We're talking to Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. Senator, I'm going to switch topics here for a minute. I'm going to ask you for a personal favor here on the air. It's more professional, not so much personal. But this FEMA story is the first time in my, I don't know, 20 years intensely covering and being interested in politics where I have seen government bureaucrats on the defensive about flushing our money down the toilet bowl. I'm serious. I've never seen anything like it. FEMA does this every time. And by the way, it's Republicans and Democrats. You've seen it. We're not, you know, they've done it in the past too, where there's an emergency. Oh, we need more money. Well, what did you do with the money we already gave you? And it never, they go to Congress and they go, if you don't give us money, people are going to die. I have never seen a change in the argument as fast as I've seen with this Hurricane Helene and soon to be Hurricane Milton disaster, where now Mayorkas, when he realized they'd spent our FEMA money, and yes, it is FEMA money. Don't tell me about different pots. It's FEMA money on illegals. Now Mayorkas, for the first time I've ever seen, is changing his story. And he's like, oh, I think we're good for now. We may not need more money. I have never seen that in my lifetime. Please, as a professional, do not let this go. We have an opportunity for people to look under the hood for the first time and see what destruction this government has done in financing illegal behavior over our own suffering citizens. It is a freaking disgrace.
So, Dan, you know, if we win the majority, I'll be the chairman of the permit subcommittee investigation. It actually has stronger subpoena power and investigatory power than I had when I was chairman of the full committee. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, I will use those subpoenas to investigate this, to do the oversight. That's what you're seeing here. This is the culmination of decades of Congress abdicating its oversight responsibility, allowing oversight and investigations to pretty much atrophy. And the administration knows it. And then they write these appropriation bills, thousands of pages. Nobody reads this stuff. No oversight, that are so loosey-goosey that it probably makes, you know, this siphoning of funds, this, you know, transfer of funds from FEMA to illegal immigrants or to Lebanon or to wherever they want to go. It's probably legal because Congress on a bipartisan basis made it legal. We need to tighten up this entire process. Congress is so dysfunctional. That's also, by the way, why I'm strongly supporting Rick Scott as our leader in our conference. Hopefully the majority leader, he'd make an exceptional majority leader. And we need the support of the public to pressure senators in our conference to vote for Rick Scott.
Yeah, I think he's the best choice as well. I really do. And my endorsement, whatever it means, I think he's the best choice. I don't just say that because I'm from Florida either. Senator, I know you're not kidding because you have reached out to me multiple times. You have been looking into DHS, Secret Service, and the activities of this department for a long time. You're not a Johnny come lately. You've called me repeatedly about the Secret Service asking for subject matter expertise because you're so deeply concerned about President Trump nearly losing his life twice. So I know you're going to follow up, and I appreciate that. Let me ask you one last question. I'll let you go. Senator, I'm sensing a real generational shift in the Republican Party. I'm not prone to hyperbole on this. I'm the one telling people don't get into the red wave talk because it's stupid and counterproductive. However, I'm doing it based on evidence. Not just personal anecdotes from union workers I know. My brother's a union guy. Not just personal anecdotes from friends of mine who happen to be black or Hispanic. I'm seeing it in polling data, in Fox News articles, in CNN pieces by Harry Hinton. We're getting working class voters, black male voters, Hispanic voters in numbers we've never seen before. If we execute on Election Day, you could see a permanent generational shift in what the Republican Party coalition looks like moving forward.
No, we have become, Republicans now have become the party of the working men and women of this country. Now, I was at the Trump rally in Dodge County on Sunday and had a big group of UAW union guys, and they were enthusiastic. Right. They were enthusiastically going to support and vote for President Trump and Eric Hovde and other Republicans up and down the ballot because they realize the Democrat Party is now the party of the elite, of the billionaires, of the people who are using government to their own advantage, to the disadvantage of ordinary Americans. So, no, it has been a sea shift in terms of who represents the good, hard working men and women, the people that pay the taxes, that foot the bill. That's the Republican Party now. And it's been a complete change in politics.
Yeah, I've seen it. Folks, Eric Hovde running for Senate, Wisconsin, an absolutely critical race. We can draw some money into that race. It will also impact the presidential race in Wisconsin. And as I told you, the Wall Street Journal, who is really not a huge Trump fan, I believe it was their, one of their articles, and their insiders acknowledged if Kamala Harris loses Wisconsin, there is almost no path for her to win. An absolutely critical state. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, always have an open invite on the show. We really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for your time.
God bless you. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
You got it. Yes, sir. Absolutely critical state, folks. If I had a rank in importance, not the people, it's not a qualitative judgment. I think you understand that. Electoral importance right now. I would say Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. We win Pennsylvania, Kamala Harris is in a world of trouble. We win Wisconsin, she's in a cosmos of trouble. But I think PA is a little, only because there's more electoral votes, there's nine more. Michigan, the same. She went Michigan third. I see almost no path for her. Got a great guest for you next. He comes on the show often, really passionate about the ongoing crisis in the Middle East. Let me get to our next sponsor first. Oh, hey, with the tax hikes proposed by Kamala Harris, 40% top income tax rate, 7% increase to the corporate tax rate, cap gains on unrealized gains, and some studies showing she's going to add $2 trillion, probably more, by the way, to a current $2 trillion deficit over the next 10 years. You might be thinking it's time to make more of your savings tax sheltered and inflation sheltered. That's why I trust the good people at Birch Gold Group. I've invested in gold for a long time. Birch Gold will help you assist you in converting an existing IRA or 401k into an IRA in gold. And the best news, you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Just text the word Dan to 989898 and get a free info kit on gold. There's no obligation, just information on how you could fortify your savings before the crazy really hits. With an A-plus rating with the BBB and thousands of happy customers, you can trust Birch Gold, too. I do. I've used it many times, B-I-R-C-H. So do me a favor. Text Dan to the number 989898 and get your free information kit today. Check them out. Get the information. Message and data rates apply. Thanks, Birch Gold. This is our friend Auburn basketball coach Bruce Pearl. He's also very involved in the crisis in the Middle East about the anniversary of the dreadful terror attack in Israel on October 7th. I got a lot of feedback about this interview. You're going to want to listen to it. All right, we've had this gentleman on before a couple of times. He's always a great guest. He is the head basketball coach for the Auburn Tigers, but he's also very interested in the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. He speaks out publicly about it often. We share a lot of the same concerns about the issue. Welcoming back to the show, Bruce Pearl. Bruce, thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
Dan, it's great to be with you. Thank you for the work that you do. There's a lot going on in the world right now, praying for the folks in Florida and the folks that are recovering from the hurricanes in North Carolina. But yesterday was a tough day, as it was the one-year anniversary of a great Holocaust.
Yeah, it was. And, it's kind of ironic. I know yesterday we have the anniversary. We're going to talk about that. But I know in Auburn, obviously, I have a family tie to Auburn. I'm there often. You guys were actually in one of the original paths of Helene and luckily escaped a lot of serious damage. So when my daughter called me and said she was moving her car up into an elevated garage, I said, in Auburn? And she said, yeah, they were in the track too. So you guys just barely escaped. I mean, Auburn's not typically known to be a extremely hurricane prone area.
It's not, Dan, but we're 3 hours north of the Gulf. And if you drew a line from Auburn directly south, you'd kind of run right into Panama City. And so it's, if that was ever the path, Auburn could be affected, but yeah, it's obviously been a difficult storm season, and praying that thing dissipates a little bit, but I know everybody's trying to get ready.
Likewise, my brother. So yesterday was the tragic anniversary of one of the most grotesque terror attacks in the history of humankind. A bunch of demon savages slaughtered a bunch of innocents, raped them, killed young children, did it and videoed it. Bruce, they were proud of this. I mean, this wasn't something they're embarrassed about. This is something they're proud of. So you think yesterday would have been a solemn anniversary for even the demon savages to take a break. But no, that's not what happened. We had protests up in New York on the one-year anniversary of this terror attack with the River to the Sea chants, the NYPD, KKK, IDF, go away. I mean, what we're dealing with here is really demonic, Bruce. This evil is real, and if we don't handle this and take care of this now, it's the kind of thing that's going to come for all of us soon.
I don't know how we got here. I mean, how do we get this far to where terrorists are raping and murdering and celebrating? You even think back to the Holocaust and the tremendous tragedies of war in World War II. I think even on both sides, nobody celebrated too much of the killings. And there's lots of different stories and documentaries of many of the German soldiers that were in the camps and performing these dastardly things. Even they weren't celebrating it like we're seeing today. And then on top of that, isn't just the terrorists that we're doing the celebrating. It's American college students. It's other Americans here who somehow are supporting Hamas or Iran or this incredible Islamic extremist ideology right here in this country. And I don't know how we got here, but you're right. If we don't figure out and if we don't put a stop to it or don't at least address it, we're going to become part of it.
We're talking to Bruce Pearl. He's the head coach of the Auburn basketball team. He's also very concerned about the conflict in the Middle East. Bruce, you said something important there. You and I, and I can tell you my entire audience, I'm pretty sure I can speak for all of them. We're deeply concerned about both sides of the issue. Nobody is celebrating what's happening here. No one. I understand that there are innocent Palestinians, Arabs, Jews, all that have been killed. Nobody wants that. Nobody. No reasonable, objective, moral person anchored in God and faith wants that. However, the world is a difficult place. And as, you know, Golda Meir said once, you know, we can forgive you for killing our children. We can never forgive you for making us kill yours. We're in the same boat now. Bruce, there was a ceasefire on October 6th. The people living in northern Israel and at this music festival who were just having a good time singing and enjoying themselves, who were raped and killed and beheaded, had breasts cut off, they didn't break the ceasefire. The paraglider terror demon savages did. It wasn't the Israelis that did it. It was the other side. And unfortunately, that's the witch's brew of horribles that happened afterwards. It was started by them. That's just a fact.
We got a huge wake-up call. And we got a huge wake-up call, quite frankly, Dan, to the reality that Israel has lived under since its birth. Right, since its rebirth, obviously, because there's nobody living in their ancestral homeland longer than the Jewish people have been living in Israel. Okay, it's obviously where it all started, and it's, you know, anti-Semitism has turned into anti-Zionism, but Israel has been under attack since the day it was born. Thank God, as Golda Meir said, there are Arabs that love their children more than they hate the Jews, and that was demonstrated by Anwar Sadat from Egypt, who made a peace treaty, perhaps even King Hussein. Certainly the Abraham Accords countries, Gulf Arab leaders who showed great courage to be able to tell their people, the majority of whom grew up hating the Jews and Israel because of what they believed in the propaganda and the lies, that this was the proper course for peace and prosperity, not only for us, but for the region. Okay, but there was a segment of the population that was left behind in 1948 that never, ever wanted to live with the Jews as neighbors. In 1948, when Israel was born, 160,000 Arabs were there, okay? Today, there are 3 million in that same region. There's been no genocide, okay? That's just a bunch of crap. If the Palestinians were to get their own state, the capital of that state would be East Jerusalem. How many Jews would be allowed to live in East Jerusalem? And the answer is zero. You wouldn't have a Jew that be able to go to the Wailing Wall. You wouldn't have a Christian that would be able to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. You wouldn't have a Jew that could go to the cemetery in the Mount of Olives. This is not a two-sided issue. This is a one-sided issue. And the reward that the Biden administration and the leadership has done is they've said basically three things since this war started. One, Israel's got a right to defend itself. Well, no kidding. That's bold. Number two, they're calling for a ceasefire and a de-escalation. Immediately, Blinken asked for it the day after October 8th,
right?
Okay? And allowing the enemy to continue to exist. And the third thing they keep saying, as a reward for the worst Holocaust since the Holocaust, we're going to reward these people with another state of their own inside of Israel to be able to operate. This is insane. And the United States has got to get off of that policy of a two-state solution because that ship has sailed.
Bruce, you know, one of the things that irks me about this, I got a particularly nice email text exchange with Carol Markowitz, who's a wonderful friend of mine in Florida. She's a great reporter. And she said, listen, I just want to thank you for standing with sanity on this issue. And I said to her, I appreciate that, but I don't need it. I don't mean that to be rude. I don't. It's such a clear cut argument to me. And I can prove it to you because when I debate the issue of the Israeli-Palestinian issue with other folks who take a different perspective, it's the amount of ignorance on the other side is stunning. I can't tell you how many people don't know that the Jordanians controlled the West Bank from 48 to 67. So they could have established a Palestinian state. That's just a fact. I mean, even the garbage Wikipedia editors know that's true, but they didn't. They only wanted that when it was under Jewish control. And when I say to them simple things like, you know, how many Jews are serving in Arab governments as heads of state or on as justices in whatever failed court system they may have in a lot of these countries? The number is zero. Yet you don't have the same thing in Israel. And it's like they just respond with, well, you know, you're a Zionist, and they don't respond with anything of substance. I guess what I'm getting at is it's not a two-sided argument because one side has facts that may be inconvenient for you and the other side has nothing but like hatred and euphemistic talking points. Like they don't have anything.
True. But the problem is, Dan, nobody's teaching it. We're not teaching it in the universities. We're not teaching it in high schools. Where institutions are staying institutionally neutral. And so where are people obviously, you know, getting their information? And I'll tell you right now, we still have 100 hostages. Who knows how many of them are alive? But we're still not talking about hostages every day. We have four Americans being held hostage in Israel. And I know you, as a man in the military, okay, you would have been the first guy that would have been, send me. I will go. We will find them. We're going to rescue Americans. We're not going to leave them there. Tell you right now, Biden could get those hostages out in one phone call. He calls the Ayatollah right now, and he says, look, Israel's fixing to take out your nuclear. And your oil fields, they can have them anytime they want. Okay? You deliver those hostages back to Israel within a week or two. If you don't, I'm going to let Israel do whatever they want to do to you. You watch how quickly those hostages get back. We don't use any of the leverage we have. And what's going to happen next? You know, it's interesting to see Natalie Bennett come out and talk about the fact that we should go get the nukes right now. Or President Trump came out and said, we should go get the nukes right now. If not now, when? Right now, and don't forget, President Biden has pledged, like every other president, he's not going to allow Iran to get a nuclear weapon. Right now, we have no influence. We're not using any influence or control over Iran. They're doing whatever they want. They launched 500 missiles at Israel. Okay, so obviously when Biden says don't, they do. And yet we've got a pledge. So there's two things to this right now. Let's say Israel does not go get the nukes. Let's say they don't set them back with a strike. That means the next time they send over some of these ballistic missiles, one of them could be nuclear. And you know, if that one got through, it's the start of World War III. Versus if Israel really did right now, with Hezbollah being depleted and Hamas being almost gone, went there and set the nuclear program back, how much worse off would the world be? How much safer would the world be? And as a punishment for Israel going ahead and doing that, what's the world going to be more pissed off at the Jews? All of a sudden, they're going to start to take a different approach than they're taking right now.
It's an interesting subject. Your point is 100% valid. It's accurate. And I think that's what drives the, quote, other side of the debate, which really doesn't exist. It's born in ignorance. Absolutely crazy. By the way, it's Secret Service, not military, but I appreciate your point. Bruce Pearl, you're a good man. And I got to tell you, you got a lot of guts speaking out. I know the temptation and a lot of this is just to kind of sit back and let the world pass you by. But I appreciate you coming on the show and expressing solidarity with civilized humankind. We need it. We need people with influence who aren't necessarily politicians speaking out, too. And it matters. I'm getting a lot of great feedback right now, Bruce.
Well, we do. And I want your listeners to know that I'm working really hard to have another great year with Auburn basketball. We won the SEC tournament championship last year. We've been ranked in the top 10 at one point in the season, 6 out of the last 7 seasons. And while my heart is distracted because I love this country, Dan. This country saved my family's life. I'm a Jewish basketball coach in Auburn, Alabama. Don't tell me this isn't the greatest country in the world. And I will do anything and everything I can to make sure that this country continues to stay great, that we have the freedoms that we have. And obviously, I have a heart for Israel and the Jewish people because of all the oppression. I'm hopeful that we're going to come out on the other side of this, and perhaps we're going to be better than we are today. And I'm grateful that you had me on and let me share my thoughts.
My brother, I'm with you, and so is my audience. God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much. Good luck in the upcoming season. It's not the last time we'll talk, but I deeply appreciate you spending some time with us, Bruce. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for what you do, Dan. God bless you and War Eagle.
Bruce, War Eagle. We got to get the War Eagle in, folks. You can't miss out. You can't. If you know. Hasn't been helping us much with the football team lately, but it takes a lot of guts to speak out, folks. It does. Believe me, the temptation in entertainment and sports and elsewhere to just be quiet about things is pretty profound. So we like to have different voices on the show, and we want to make sure this week, even with everything going on, that we don't fail to recognize the tragedy that happened a year ago on October 7th. Here's another one of our fiery rants coming up next, but first, our next sponsor. Helix. Slept on my Helix mattress last night. 20% off from Helix, all mattress orders for listeners. How about that? It's a great deal to motivate you to take action and improve your sleep. Paul and I just moved into the new house. We outfitted the entire house with Helix mattresses. The only problem is now we can't get people out of there because they love the mattresses. We work hard and play hard, resulting in long days. So it's important we also get a good night's sleep to feel rested and refreshed. It all starts with a mattress suited to our needs. Listen, anytime you can personalize a product to fit your specific needs, you're going to get a better product. Helix puts the consumer first. In just a few minutes, the Helix team learns about your sleep patterns and recommends the right mattress for you so you get the perfect match. From the position you sleep in, your body type, your unique needs, Helix will recommend the perfect mattress for you. Go to helixsleep.com/Dan and start your match today. As I said, they're offering 20% off all mattress orders to my listeners. I sleep on one. Absolutely love it. Super comfortable. That's helixsleep.com/Dan. H-E-L-I-X. helixsleep.com/Dan. Hey, these tragic storms out there really demonstrate how much your government genuinely hates your guts. I'm sorry to tell you that, folks. I ranted about this on the show. Got a lot of feedback. Check this out. Man, does your government suck? I mean suck. I mean really sucks. We're no time. Forget it. Hey, welcome to the best school, Ed. Forget it. Jim, keep the dump button handy today because I'm not. If you just got off the podcast, you know what I mean. I'm going to do my best to not incur a couple million in FCC fines in one show. But your government just absolutely sucks. Like sucks like one of those. Remember those before all these stupid cow farting energy inflation production act regulation. Remember when you vacuum used to actually clean things? Those things, we had an Electrolux back in the day. This guy named nobody was really named Herb anymore. He sold it to us. He was the Electrolux salesman. Remember Electrolux? If you grew up in Queens, you knew about it. Herb came by. I forget his last name. It started with a J though. And he sold my mom this really expensive Electrolux vacuum. And let me tell you something, that thing suck you in whole. Suck you in all. You could die if that thing was dangerous. It would be like in space, like getting sucked through a pinhole and like being to one line of atoms right outside. That's how bad your government sucks. Your government sucks. Suck like this. There is no bigger suck anywhere on earth than government. It sucks. It sucks. Jim, you think the audience is having a tough time picking up what I'm putting down? Folks, am I being indirect? Your government sucks. Jim's like, you a little on the fence about this? It is the most disgusting, putrid, fetid, sulfur-smelling. It's like Rick Wilson's underarms after a long flight when you run into a JFK. I'm pretty convinced the dude does not wear deodorant. I don't know what's going on with that guy. That's for another day. You all know the story. I cannot emphasize to you enough the level of suck your government is that you have to give these idiots any money. I'm going to exclude, obviously, our heroes in the military, court system, which we need, and some basic like intelligence stuff, which has all been weaponized anyway. But outside of that, your government sucks. Okay, Dan, why 3 minutes on why it sucks? I see this headline this morning, right, Jim? I sent it over this morning. I was so bothered, I didn't even send over the headline. I sent over a screenshot of the headlines. Poor guys had to look it up, which probably didn't take long, but still, I tried to save him the effort. Washington Free Beacon. This is real, by the way. These guys double check everything. If I ever send a screenshot, by the way, guys, general rule, just make sure it's real. So they checked it out for me, and it sure is real. Washington Free Beacon. DHS Secretary Mayorkas shops for high-end menswear as mass power outages continue in North Carolina. I'm going to up that headline. As dead bodies keep showing up in trees in North Carolina. What's Mayorkas doing? He's buying a high-end underwear with the hammock pouch for his balls or something. That's what he's doing. He's out there shopping. Hammock pouch. To say, I may be tiny and all, I don't know, but he needs a little, he's got to get the high-end. You know the underwear that are like $150 a pair? You know what I'm talking about? You ever see those underwear? Remember back in the day, you'd get, Jim, the Fruit of the Looms, the tiny, tidy whiteys? What was that? What was a 10-pack? Like 35 cents? That's what you wore. Because back in the day, that's when men were men. Bro, turn your mic on. That's all you need. What did we do, Jim, in New York? We left the house at 7 in the morning in the summer with a baseball glove. You stuck it over the end of a bat. You leaned it over your shoulder. If you were lucky enough to have a bike. I really wasn't. My bike was cheap, kept falling apart. You walked to the park. What time did you come back, Jim?
7, 8, 9 at night.
7, 8, 9. Yeah, right. Where'd you drink all day? You drank from the neighbor's hose. You probably got a bunch of PBCs and deadly compounds. Probably why I got cancer later on. Fire hydrant was open. You put some water in your mouth, right? Well, Jim, what did you eat? I ate a buttered onion bagel. It was like 25 cents at Tommy's Deli. You throw a beef jerky or a bag of chips?
I don't even know if I ate.
Nobody knows. I don't even know how I survived. That's when men were men. What do we got now? We've got 200 and close to 250 dead bodies from Hurricane Helene. Just tore apart the country, right? And by the way, hundreds more missing. We've got Hurricane Milton getting ready to absolutely destroy one of the most powerful cities in the United States, Tampa in Florida. And what's Mayorkas doing? Mayorkas isn't out buying Fruit of the Looms and drinking from the neighbor's garden hose. If they were like, yeah, but most of them didn't even have a hose. You just turned the faucet they had outside their house. It was all rusted. You just drank from that. So what's he doing? He's buying high-end underwear to cradle his nads. That's what he's doing. This is read the headline. You think your boy here is making this up? DHS Secretary Mayorkas shops for high-end menswear as mass power outages continue in North Carolina. This is your government. So just in the last 2 weeks, we found out billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars have been spent over the years on foreign aid, illegals. FEMA's been nearly bankrupted by sending money for illegals who aren't even U.S. citizens, breaking all our laws. Now when FEMA's needed, because last time I checked, Jim, they didn't change the name, right? It's Federal Emergency Management Agency. So I think it's for emergencies. Call me, but the government, you know what it is, folks? The government's so freaking stupid that there's a real possibility it has nothing to do with emergencies. The Federal Emergency Management Agency could oversee the SAT because the government's so dumb. The government's so freaking stupid that there's a good, but I found out that they did get one thing right. They actually are supposed to manage emergencies. So that's why they call it, and federally. So that's why they call it the Federal Emergency Management Agency, Federal Emergency Management. So we find out that there's a federal emergency. Jim, is North Carolina, Tennessee, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida in the federal domain of the United States?
They are.
So it's not China. It's not Thu Duc Vietnam. No, it is. Okay, so it is in there. So it is in the federal jurisdiction. And Jim, has there been an emergency in said area?
Yes. Massive.
And would
emergency.
It require some management?
Yes.
Okay. So Mayorkas, who's buying hammock pouch underwear to cradle his nads, is out there. He's telling Congress, hey, man, I have FEMA underneath me in DHS, and I need a lot of money. And a bunch of Republicans, me included, and conservative hosts are like, wait, why do you need money? The government stole $7 trillion from us last year in the form of debt and taxes. How could you possibly need more money? Where did the money go? We spent it in Lebanon on the Taliban, and we spent it flying illegals around the country to illegally invade cities. Oh, you did? Mayorkas, we'd like you to come to Congress. I cannot come to Congress. I have to buy hammock pouch $150 underwear to cradle my nuts. I cannot go. And there's a picture. There's a picture. In case you don't think he's shopping for high-end menswear, someone took a picture of this moron. Someone took a picture of this guy. Folks, there was... Man, I'm telling you. How are you really? How do you wake up as a liberal? I'm curious. I'm curious. Show me on the doll where they hurt you. Like, how did you get to this point of damage where you wake up and you really believe the government can do anything right? Can you tell me one thing? Jim, I think Jim and Evita, right? This was kind of your show on Friday, like lies liberals tell themselves. Like, can you tell me one thing this putrid, fetid, cancerous mass we call the government does right? Border, nah, that sucks. Social Security, yeah, that's broke. Medicare, doctors aren't even taking it anymore. That's broke. What else they do? Public education, nah, I screwed that up. We're the worst in the OECD world. What about the northern border? No, even the northern border is being invaded now as illegals are being kicked out of Canada. They're like, I'll just go to the United States. They don't care. Is there anything the United States government does right? Anything? Anything? Can someone name a single thing, please? And just one thing. Jim, find one. Mike, come on. There's got to be one. Just tell me one thing they do right. Please? Just one thing. Printed. Good. My guy. Yeah, that is correct. The government does print money really well. You're correct. If they want money, they make that digitally appear lickety-split. That's a good point. The government prints money. They do that great. Good point, Jim. I like that. It is. It's an actual skill. Now, I didn't say to Jim good or bad. I just meant a skill. I mean, you can be a drug dealer. You're a really morally inept, evil person, but you can be a better drug dealer than the other guy because you're just a scumbag, right? So you can be. So the government's really good. I didn't say good or bad. The government is really good at printing money. That's correct. That's what they're getting. So that's one thing. Mayorkas. So just to be clear, here's your government. You got President Biden on the beach, testicular tanning with the copper tone in Delaware, as entire towns are wiped off the map. Whole towns. You can go look. Was it Chimney Rock, Asheville? No, you can go look at these places, by the way. If you go to the maps overhead image before and after, there's nothing left. So you've got the President of the United States on the beach catching some sun, you know, maybe drinking a mojito with Dr. Jill, the world's most prominent neurosurgeon, right? He's sitting there in his drawers. He thinks he's sitting there in a bathing suit. They're like, oh, Mr. Biden, those are actually your underwear. Did I get them from Mayorkas? Do they have the hammock pouch? This other jerkwad is out there shopping for high-end underwear or something. And as people are dying, you've got Kamala Harris going on a sex podcast where they talk about like threesomes and stuff. No big deal, folks. And then she's on The View with Sonny Hostin, who's probably just 5 minutes away from an institution if Donald Trump gets elected. This is what's going on in your country right now. This is it. And then, you're like, come on, at least it can't get any worse. Oh, I'm not even done. I haven't even gotten to the first story yet. Jim, cue up for me, come on. So Peter Doocy, who's the only actual news journalist in the White House press room, decides to ask Karine Jean-Pierre a question yesterday. Like, hey, Karine, we got a $7 trillion government. You know, that's kind of a lot. You're spending a lot of money. How is it that Alejandro Mayorkas, between episodes of shopping for, quote, high-end menswear, when he stops shopping, why is it he's going to Congress asking for more money? You're giving all this money to Lebanon, the Taliban, illegals. How could you possibly need more money? Watch Karine Jean-Pierre, like a little child, melt down. There has never been a worse press secretary in the history of press secretaries. I mean, anywhere. I'm talking about like Baghdad Bob is right now going, thank God for Karine Jean-Pierre. Everyone, no one else is going to. There are no troops in Baghdad. No one's going to remember that moment anymore. They're only going to replace it with Karine Jean-Pierre moments. Here she is storming off the stage, because she's asked the question, how the hell could the government be out of money? You're already stealing everything we own. Check this out.
What does it say about his values? There's not enough money right now for his people values, in North Carolina who need it. That's not misinformation.
Wait. No, that is. Your whole premise of the question is misinformation, sir. It's misinformation.
I just mentioned
to you that we provided more than $200 million to folks who are impacted in the area. And I just shared with you that people are deciding
Congress that there's not enough money to help people.
We're
in North
talking
Carolina
about the SBA disaster loan.
That's money for people in North Carolina,
and that's important. And people in North Carolina need that. This is nothing new. Congress comes together; they provide money, millions of dollars, for disaster relief. We're asking them to do the job that they have been doing for some time.
From a letter that President Biden sent to Johnson, McConnell, time. Schumer, and Jeffries, the president's letter is not misinformation. Would you agree?
No, the way you're asking me the question is misinformation. There's money that we are allocating to the impacted areas, and there's money there to help people who truly need it. There are survivors who need the funding. And it's there.
You don't like misinformation.
They are not near Baghdad. Don't believe them. They are nowhere. This is silly.
Folks, I'm telling you. Baghdad Bob, his family right now is like, thank God for Karine Jean-Pierre. We've got her now. That she has the cojones to tell Peter Ducey that his question is misinformation, yet every single point he made in the question is an accurate number from the Biden administration. Yes, she just sent out a tweet about hundreds of millions of dollars to Lebanon. Yes, Alejandro Mayorkas, when he's done with his high-end menswear shopping, did ask for more money for FEMA. Yes, FEMA has given hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars to illegals. Karine Jean-Pierre can't handle it. She can't handle it because the truth hurts. These people lie to you all the time. Why do you take it? Why do you take it? Why do you take it? Folks, I only got 30 seconds before the computer probably cuts me off here because I'm already way late. If you're not voting in this election, you're the problem. I would never tell anyone to not listen to my show except for today. If you're not voting and you're just sitting this out, this show is not for you. I'm sorry. Girl, don't go away mad. Just go away like Motley Crue said. You are part of the problem. If you are not voting and bringing 10 people with you and you continue to tolerate this, you are an accessory to this crime on humanity. These morons running our lives. Hey, thanks for checking out the podcast. Please join us every day at 11 a.m. You can do it by downloading the free Rumble app, or you can just go to rumble.com/Bongino if you want to watch on desktop. You can also watch anytime on demand. The episodes are available at your viewing pleasure. Thanks for tuning in. See you on Monday.
You just heard Dan Bongino.